Hey, good people. It's your girl, Fredrika McClary Easley, back with another episode of Policy and the Plant with my man, Stephen Philpott. Before we jump into today's discussion, tongue tied, let me take care of a little bit of housekeeping. This is going to be a great one, and so I don't want to waste any time. So real quick, y'all already know that we are on all the platforms, YouTube, Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon Prime, like, subscribe, do all of those good things, specifically on IG. Here we are. The people are blunt. We have an IG page. Y'all have been showing love, and we so appreciate it, sharing the reels, commenting on the reels. This is why we do it, people. We want to make sure that we're giving you what you need, right? Education is so important, and that is a huge factor in why this segment, Policy and the Plant specifically, was even created. And then let me just throw out there also my boy, Steve. You can find him at Coach Jackpot on IG, LinkedIn. He is his name, Stephen Philpott Jr. And so you can please like, subscribe, follow him as well, and all the good things that he's putting out there. And so without further ado, let's jump into it. So, Steve, how you feeling today, baby?
I'm feeling good.
Yay. Well, you look good. Melanin shining. You're moisturized.
Oh, yeah. All good.
Yeah. We fight ash on a regular basis. No ash. We just want the melanin shining. So, look, last episode, and people have been raving about it. And I was like, where y'all been? Like, Steve been dropping fire. Where you been? But this whole conversation about intoxicating hemp has people in a chokehold, right? And so last episode, you were really gracious as to lay a foundation in terms of the words themselves, because we know words have power, right? And so you really laid this foundation in terms of like what we're talking about. And the origin of that, like, why are we using intoxicating, you know, what's going on legally in terms of hemp, but also scientifically in terms of its relationship with the plant itself. And so I thought that a good follow-up to that would be, let's dive into some of the variety of cannabinoids that are kind of like flooding the market right now. So like, let's kind of dive into some of the big ones, right? Your CBG, your CBN, you know, that kind of thing. And then I want to, the second part of the conversation, tap into how this is impacting the business, the regulated space of cannabis. Is that all right?
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah, so sure. I'm going to turn it over to you. Let's jump into it. Cause like I'm putting my student cap on. And I'm ready to take notes. And so, come on, teach.
Yeah, absolutely. I think to kind of start off, to give everybody a pick, I'd like to start with the foundation.
You sounding low. I don't know. Maybe you need to come a little closer. I thought we had gotten it together. Yeah. That's perfect. Okay.
Okay. So to start off, one of the most important things to give like groundwork is what we're talking about, these cannabinoids, right? All of us are familiar with THC. That's kind of like our basis of understanding. THC determines whether we call it hemp or whether we call it marijuana. THC determines whether it's legal or whether it's illegal, right? So there's been a lot of focus placed on THC. But I think at this point, we now know that there's a ton of other compounds and molecules that exist, but we don't really know a lot about them. After THC, we know about CBD, right? So CBD became legal in 2018. CBD became federally legal. So now we know about THC and CBD. Most people are familiar with those, but what people don't realize is there's three different types of cannabinoids, categories, I would say. So the most obvious one is phytocannabinoids. Phyto means plant. So plant cannabinoids, THC and CBD, we are aware that those come from plants, right? Pretty familiar with that. Well, then there's endocannabinoids. That might be the next class that people are starting to hear about.
Yeah.
So just like THC and CBD, humans make cannabinoids in our bodies. Mm-hmm. Not just humans, cats, dogs, bears, jellyfish, fruit flies. Most life on this planet makes cannabinoids. It's a natural process of life. It's really important. So those
yes,
are
indeed. Okay.
Then there's a third category, and this is kind of the one that we're talking about, synthetic cannabinoids. So synthetic cannabinoids is when we start talking about our Delta 8s, our THCO, THC, there's all these different derivatives that we're now hearing about. And this is where we need to start having important conversations.
Okay, can I put a marker here? So you can go back, people, okay, a couple of episodes, because Stephen broke down, he broke down the difference between what's the percentage of hemp, right? All of these, not scientific, but from the government. So he broke that down, okay? He broke down the difference between the male and female plant. So I would just encourage you to go back to past episodes to bring yourself up to speed, okay? And then most importantly, based on what you just said, you had already broken down Delta 8 and Delta 9.
Right.
Which is synthetic versus which is naturally produced in abundance, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now let's move forward.
Yeah, so what's really important is to think about is we're talking about synthetic cannabinoids. They're everywhere right now. I, for instance, moved from Illinois, where cannabis was recreationally legal. You could find products everywhere, to North Carolina, which is one of the only states that doesn't even have a medical program.
Yeah.
So not having a medical program in Texas and North Carolina, I found out are the top two states for synthetic cannabinoids. So when we say synthetic, right, we need to differentiate. We said THC and CBD were plant cannabinoids. Our body makes its natural endocannabinoids. But synthetic cannabinoids means that they was created with some type of solvent or chemical or something that was non-organic. And although a lot of our food does get processed the same way, this is happening unregulated, right? Yeah. So people are using chemicals to make Delta 8, to make HHC, to make THCO, to make all these derivative or their THC-like products. There's a loophole, right? People are trying to find a loophole. So in states where there is no available cannabis or no, you know, publicly available cannabis, people will get synthetic cannabinoids. And that's the issue we're having when people say intoxicating hemp. They're assuming that these are all synthetic because, right? So people say if it's intoxicating hemp, it's synthetic. That's not necessarily the case. There is natural hemp that grows with natural THC, natural CBD, natural CBG, right? So these are all cannabinoids that are phyto. Remember, we said plant cannabinoids. But when we hear about the Delta 8s and the HHC and THCO, these are not naturally occurring cannabinoids. These are cannabinoids that have been synthetically either created or synthetically produced. So they use chemicals to wash CBD or some old flower and change it into it. So this is really important that we talk about this, because intoxicating hemp is technically taking the blame for everything that's synthetic. And that's kind of that misconception there is people hear the word intoxicating hemp and they hear Delta 8 or they think HHCO. They think these really nasty, harmful chemicals. But the truth is there's people that have been growing hemp for 30 plus years where it does have a little THC in it. Because we know hemp and marijuana are the same plant, right? So there's people that'll tell you, hey, I got something that's 12% CBD and 3% THC. The government considers that intoxicating hemp. Marijuana. So you see how confusing that is? It's just like we're looking at CBD and THC to define these terms. And the truth is there's classes of chemicals. Some come from plants, some come from the human body, and some are synthetic. And if we say that hemp is all synthetic, that's absolutely not true.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's kind of where the confusion comes from.
Okay. Yet again, mind blown, right? Because I had not separated in that way. I know last episode we talked, I'm echoing. So last episode we talked, we spoke about one, the word intoxicating and how it is being misused in this case, and specifically the government, you know, the arbitrary amount that they've placed on it in terms of the 0.03%. Of THC that can be present. But what you are introducing is this whole other level, right? Because what really needs to be separated here is that phyto, like the phytocannabinoids, from these synthetic cannabinoids. And so I think that that's a perfect segue to get us into this business part, because as you stated, people are trying to find the loophole, right? There are a lot of folks who have spent a lot of money. They have mortgaged their homes. They have purchased, or not purchased, but borrowed from family, friends, whatever. And so, and then also those outside of the regulated space, right? Like people who didn't even try and go this route. But anyway, people are vested in this plant, right? But because of regulations, it's like in a lot of ways, your hands are tied. And so people are trying to figure out, how do I make some money? And so let's tap into, like, you know, let's tap into the business of cannabis and how this is impacting the business of cannabis.
Yeah, so I mean, this is really, really important because to your point, a lot of people waited a long time to get licenses, right? And I guess the issue when you put into policy that you're giving someone a cannabis license is that's a very broad, we know now that's an umbrella term. There's a lot of things that are under cannabis, but particularly people got licenses to sell marijuana according to the government, right? So high THC cannabis, just to make it clear. The issue is CBD was legalized in 2018 federally in all 50 states, right? So the first loophole that happened was people realizing there's a ton of CBD flower all across the country and it doesn't sell the same. Why? Because it doesn't have the same head high. Mm-hmm. So when people started pushing THC as the benchmarker, as THC is in, it's in policy now. When I was in Illinois as a dispensary manager, anything over 35% THC started off with a 25% extra tax.
Absolutely.
Right? So now you're talking about, you're using THC as a measuring mark. Using THC as a taxate. So THC became the focus, the head high of THC. Nothing else that was involved in cannabis, just THC. So what happened was people realized that if people were just looking for the high, if the high is what was popular, which is that's what was popular, CBD wasn't getting people high. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of people that have consumed CBD and they'll say it's non-intoxicating, right? That's what people call it. Again, we already talked about it. If you do some chemical changes, you end up with Delta 8. And people realizing that Delta 8 came from a legal CBD flower, right? But yep. Then it is intoxicating. So that was kind of that issue. Make all this make sense. So we're talking about business. You're one side. You stood in line. You waited for a license. You paid $250,000, $500,000, however many dollars. You got this team of people together. You've gone through state regulation. You've been in all these state meetings. You're talking to politicians. You've been doing this for years. You finally got a license, and now you're competing with big business in your state. Like, this is a normal blueprint that we're seeing. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you hear somebody down the street at a smoke shop, regular smoke shop. They sell tobacco. They sell hookah. And you hear that they're selling Delta 8. And you're like, okay, well, that has nothing to do with me. Well, yeah, now people are going there because it's cheaper, because they're like, oh, I'm getting high. The issue is they don't know what chemicals are in it. They don't know all the stuff that we're talking about right now, all the education that comes along with it. These smoke shops are in our neighborhoods.
Yeah,
they are. These smoke shops are in the same neighborhoods that were disproportionately impacted by the war on drugs.
Yeah.
So a lot of these people who are looking for stress relief and something healthy, like phytocannabinoids or cannabis, they're finding themselves consuming synthetic cannabinoids.
Yeah.
Right. So that is now competing with your business model and infiltrating neighborhoods across the U.S.
Yeah.
And listen, is there a way that Delta 8 could likely be created healthily in a safe way? I don't know. But right now, there's no regulation around it. So we can't, anytime you hear something negative that happens with cannabis, you hear Delta 8 involved. A child ate a Delta 8 gummy.
Yeah.
This happened. That happened. So now, this is affecting people who stood in line and waited to get their licenses for quote unquote marijuana businesses.
Yeah.
So you have what you really have is synthetic cannabinoids that are unregulated and legal competing with marijuana that is still trying to become established.
Yeah.
So you have an industry that's still trying to be, it's not legal. right? It's regulated and taxed.
Correct.
But we're trying to get to the point where it is legal. It's hard to do that when synthetic cannabinoids are at every smoke shop everywhere in at least North Carolina, a lot of them in Texas, a lot of different places.
Well, and we'll take it a step further, because even if you don't have the brick and mortar, what is now happening is that people are like, screw the license. You know, I'm going to operate in hemp. I'm going to operate with intoxicating hemp. And now I can go from, because of 280E and because of overhead costs and things of that nature, and dealing with, to your point, how different things are taxed, like the tax that's placed on it. I can go from maybe a profit of $30,000 to $300,000, because if I'm doing intoxicating hemp, if I'm operating with that, then I can put it in the mail, right? Because this is not cannabis. You know, I can put it in the mail. It totally opens up the market for me. You know what I'm saying? And so, as you were saying, there are some people who waited in line, and this is not about hating players. Like, this is just the game, right? This is just the cards that have been dealt. But people are going to find a way out of no way. And so, to your point, because you know, you have something like Delta 8, which, as Stephen has educated us on, it is present in Phyto, but not in abundance, right? So not at the level that it is being pushed out, which means that there is an intoxicating component to it, that a solvent or something of that nature has been used for that transition. And so you have that stuff everywhere in terms of like a gray market, you know what I mean? Brick and mortar. And then you have it everywhere in terms of like what can be pushed out. And so people need to know the right questions to ask, or as they are researching, they need to be able to differentiate between Phyto and between synthetic.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, I'm not saying that this stuff is going to go away. I remember when I was in the military, K2 was a big thing. Spice. So it was something that people were consuming to get high, but it wasn't traceable by any known drug test at the time. And come to find out, guess what it was? It was a synthetic cannabinoid. That's what it was. So there was this name for it. Oh, K2, spice. It's just some random word. It turned out to be synthetic. People were consuming something that was synthetic. So we now have to try to consider that there's people that are trying to grow these plants as safely as possible, organic, sustainably. You know, they're doing all, after they harvest their plant, they make sure they want to protect it and keep it in a certain condition so that it doesn't make people sick. And if they make a concentrate, they don't want to use chemicals. They want to do solventless concentrates. To go through all that and someone say, I have the same product as you, knowing that it's full of chemicals, knowing that they don't have to get their products tested, knowing that it doesn't have to go through all this scrutiny. Again, I'm not saying good or bad, pro or con, but we have to transparently look at what's available right now. If I'm in Illinois as a patient, I can have my own plants in my house. If I want to go to a dispensary, I have different options, from massive companies that are all across the country to local small craft companies that have special, unique products. If you go to a state like myself in North Carolina, you in Texas, now you're going, hey, I just came here to get, you know, somebody went in to get some cigarettes and they're like, you got a wall of marijuana. It's not marijuana. It's not. A lot of this stuff, you know, at this point, they even have flower that's sprayed.
Yo, it's all over the place, though. I mean, straight up, I'm here in Austin. It is all over the place, like literal, you know, the canisters that used to be at the penny candy store. You know what I mean? Those glass canisters full of buds, full of flower. You know what I'm saying? And they, okay, so here's another thing, because they will say, you know, you hear talk of CBG, CBN, and maybe this is next episode, because I know we coming up on our time. We like to have these digestible. So maybe this is just a little teaser, but you hear CBG, CBN, you hear of like all of these other, you know, these acronyms. It's the alphabet at this point to me. But again, being in states where the regulation has not caught up to where the people are, I feel like those are the spaces where you are seeing more of this ingenuity, if you will, or more of this kind of figuring out the loopholes.
Yeah, and I'm inclined to agree. The reason that I started off with that caveat about phytocannabinoids, endocannabinoids, and synthetic cannabinoids, endocannabinoids are created within animals' bodies, right? So it's nothing to talk about. There's no good or bad. Nobody asked any opinion, right? It's jellyfish at the bottom of the ocean that make endocannabinoids, and right, they ain't never been consuming cannabis. We also have to consider that there's these plant cannabinoids that are natural, made in these special doses through sunlight and soil and all these different things. We don't know the effects of these synthetic cannabinoids, right? So that's why it's important when I say, you said CBG, CBA, CBD, like you said, alphabet soup at this point. Those are phytocannabinoids. Those are produced naturally. Delta 8, THCP, THCO, those are synthetic. Anandamide, 2AG, those are the ones we make inside our bodies. The thing is, they can all target similar systems. So that's the game people are playing. If somebody can consume it and it gets them quote unquote high or they feel how they want, the name on it is not mattering at this point. And that's the issue. We have to educate. People like, oh, I got some THCP or some HHC. And they're like, I was high. I felt great. And it's like, hey, we need to educate people on what they're putting in their body. Because if we don't, this is all going to get blamed on cannabis. And the plant itself is going to be what takes the hit rather than us knowing, again, I want everybody's takeaway to be phytocannabinoids from plants, endocannabinoids made in humans and animals, and then synthetic cannabinoids, which can be made a ton of different kind of ways. So we kind of need to start categorizing those. That's what intoxicating hemp made us do. It made us start having these conversations. How is one legal? How is one illegal? How come one gets you high? We're not talking about it. It's not about those names. It's really about these different classes of cannabinoids. And like you said, next episode, we should talk about some more of those phytocannabinoids, because I think the more people are educated on something other than THC and CBD, the story starts to make sense why there's so many. Because guess what? There's hundreds and hundreds of cannabinoids. Next week, somebody could tell the public there's a new one. And as a scientist, I'm like, it's not new. You see what I'm saying? But that people who are thinking about money, that's how they, I mean, think about this as almost like, I don't want to say flavors, but this is different recipes, essentially.
Yeah.
Right. So you got one recipe with THC, one with THC and CBD. Right. So all the people are looking at these as different pathways, different opportunities. So the benefit is CBD and CBG and all these different things that we don't normally talk about. Those could be pathways to opportunities in business.
Yeah.
At the same time, when we're talking about Delta 8, HHCO, these are loopholes that are synthetic that are actually competing with, you know, organized business. And every state's going to regulate it differently. Minnesota has beverages at grocery stores. At grocery stores that are infused with THC because they said the THC came from hemp.
Yeah.
Right.
And Minnesota, Minnesota is a great state to use because in their regulation, right? In the new regulation, they actually list, and this is one of the first times I've seen this recently, right? But they actually list and are regulating intoxicating hemp. And so what that office has to be educated, and you know, we know that states copy and paste, right? So we know if it's one place, the next thing you know, you'll see it somewhere else. But we have to make sure that they're educated on the fact that there are these three categories, that there are phytocannabinoids, there are synthetic, and there are our endocannabinoids, right? And so we need to make sure that when they're talking about intoxicating hemp, and that they're talking about regulating that as if it is not legal, that it has to be the synthetic. It cannot be the phyto. You know what I'm saying? That's why this is important, people, just on a policy tip, is that when you hear these conversations and you see this language coming up, you got to make sure that it is not being used to recriminalize, if you will, or roll back the legal actions that have taken place to open up hemp, right? Like, we've got to make sure that the provisions of the Farm Bill, the 2018 Farm Bill, are not being rolled back. And so to your point, Stephen, and I'll let you wrap us up, but like, knowledge is power, words matter.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think we kind of hit a lot of the good points, but the takeaway from this that's really important is that people have to be educated on what is in the policy. And the policy is often a broad term that has a lot of ambiguity. It has a lot of people can interpret it different ways, right? So if somebody says intoxicating hemp, we've already said how variable those words are. Intoxicating means something. Hemp means another thing. Are we really talking about synthetics? Are we talking about things that just came from hemp so they are legal? These are the conversations that if someone comes to us with policy that's written and we're not educated enough to have an educated rebuttal, a scientific rebuttal, we should all be educated. This isn't high level science like people think. It's just something that's not mainstream. By the time something's mainstream, it's probably played out already. It's already in policy. We have to educate ourselves on the next thing that's going to happen, on the next farm bill, right? On the next bill that says intoxicating hemp. So, you know, with that, I'll kind of leave it there. And next time we should talk about some of those other minor and rare cannabinoids to help educate folks.
It's always a time. I am always, look, every day we should learn something new. And every time I talk to you, I am just like, damn, yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? Trying to be a sponge and soak it up. And so, y'all, do yourselves a favor. Go back and watch the other episodes because we are building here. You can consume each episode individually, but we are also building here. You know what I'm saying? And so do yourself the favor and go ahead and roll back to the prior episodes of Policy and the Plant. It is always a time. Stephen, thank you so much for blessing the people. And until next time, we out, y'all. Peace.